In early 2023, I met today's guest at a podcast conference, and after talking with him just a little while, I knew that I had to start using his AI tool in my podcasting journey and business immediately. Today, I'm introducing to you Paul Block. He's the co-founder of Fathom Labs. Now, we're going to talk about how him and his co-founder are redefining content creation with the help of a revolutionary AI technology. We're going to get a sneak peek into Fathom Labs' AI podcast player, Podium.page, which is the product that I'm super excited about that I first got connected to when I met Paul, and their brand new product, which I just learned about today before this call, Podbook, which is transforming the way we are able to create books as authors and writers and content creators. As we dive into today's topic, you're going to learn more about AI technology and podcasting, get a chance to hear about the groundbreaking possibilities that it offers from the man who calls himself a futurist. Enjoy. This is the Mindshift Podcast, where we share real stories, real strategies that will help you find real success. This is the place to hear from people just like you who have taken their ideas, goals, and dreams from a point of inspiration to realization, or when life knocked them down, from a point of breakdown to breakthrough. I'm your host, Daryl Evans. Let's get started with today's episode. Paul, welcome. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Daryl. Great to be here.
Where are you in the world today?
I'm in San Diego. I've been living here now for, it's going on 3 years, and it's it kind of pulls you in. It's the perfect weather.
It is. So yeah, so we're neighbors. I'm over here in Vegas, and my daughter's going to school down in San Diego. So I'm wondering if she's ever going to come back when it's all said and done, because it is one of the places in the United States that It's hard to leave, especially if you're near the beach. So anyway.
Indeed.
Welcome to the show. I am really excited to have this conversation. Paul, you and I met spring of 2023 at a podcast conference, and I was fascinated by what you and your team are building and have built, and I want to unpack that for our audience today. Obviously, I was at a podcast event, but let me first, before we get into the product, let's introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, and tell us about your product.
Sure. My background is really in product design. I'm starting out as a graphic designer when I was young. I actually studied art in school, and that turned into getting into the commercial arts and becoming a graphic designer, first in print design, and then in the early 2000s doing web stuff, which then turned into startup stuff, and moving to Silicon Valley and working with a number of startups and kind of Fortune 500 companies. And now I've had the great privilege and honor, and I think just good fortune, to start my own company with a very, very close friend of mine who I've worked with at multiple companies. His name's Ken Miller. We started a company called Fathom Labs in just at the tail end of COVID in 2021. And we've been working on AI podcast technology since that time. Yeah, so it's been an extraordinary adventure. We've been working on a podcast player that's powered by AI called Fathom, which you can check out at fathom.fm. It uses semantic search. We do highlight extraction with AI. We transcribe episodes so you can read the transcript. We chapterize podcasts, and so you can navigate with chapters and a bunch of other really amazing things, including, you know, of course, like AI recommendations. So the AI learns, you know, what you like to listen to, and using embedded vectors and a lot of calculus, it's able to determine what other interesting content would be, you know, that we have in our catalog that you'd be interested in. It recommends it for you. So it's a high quality recommendation engine. And then we've been working on most recently Podium, which is taking a lot of the technology we built and turning it into a comprehensive suite of tools for podcasters, you know, mostly on the post-production side. So they can upload their podcasts, and then our AI will, it's kind of a chain of AIs, if you will, that will process your content and start creating a lot of marketing collateral, all of the post-production content you need to really promote an episode. And then most recently, which I'm happy to talk about, we have just opened up the wait list for a new product called Podbook, which is it's the first of its kind an AI that can transform a podcast into a whole book. And by a whole book, I mean a 200 to 300 page book. It really depends on how much content you have. You give us your RSS feed and our AI will process it and generate anywhere from a 20 page to 200 page book for you. So it's pretty radical. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Interesting times we live in.
Man. Oh my geez. So first of all, wow. So you started with Fathom Labs in 2021 during a pandemic. So yeah. I think it's important to highlight that you're not just a latecomer to the ChatGPT craze and jumped on the bandwagon, right? So I'm imagining you were using GPT technology leading into it. Is that right?
Actually, when we first started, we didn't use any OpenAI products such as GPT-3 at that time.
Okay.
We started to integrate with OpenAI and GPT-3 and now GPT-4 when we started just needing to use it to name chapters as an example. But gotcha. We, Ken, during the COVID lockdown, he basically started working on a little side project, as we all had a lot of time on our hands. he was really interested in semantic search at that time. And so our first product that we had worked on and that we actually showcased to investors, what didn't have anything to do with even chapterizing or creating or generating content from a podcast. It was all semantic search. So what that means is you could ask a question and it could find an answer inside of a podcast. So, if you said, hey, I'm a fan of Lex Friedman and I wanted to ask Lex or his guests, what's the meaning of life or, what's the nature of consciousness, as Lex often discusses with his with his guests, it would find the exact moment that either Lex or one of his guests was answering that, which is kind of a revolutionary way to search through content.
Wow.
And what we loved about it is that it's not artificial intelligence in a way. We're using the term appropriative intelligence because it would appropriate human intelligence to answer your question. It's not generating an answer for you. And we still think that's actually totally revolutionary technology and no podcast application actually has that still, other than Fathom. So it's pretty revolutionary. Although I take that back because after the kind of advent of ChatGPT, a lot of startups suddenly just sprang into existence that would do a kind of semantic search across podcast content. So I do take that back, but I haven't seen anything yet that's built into a podcast player specifically. But so that's how we started. And then one thing that we found actually is that in 2021, the market was still too immature to not talking about people's personalities, but just in terms of people's understanding of AI, that to really appreciate or understand the difference of semantic search. And that, there wasn't necessarily a marketplace for or a product market fit for a semantic search engine for podcasts at that time. I think now people, because of the popularity of ChatGPT, they are more familiar with using AI and how to use it. Yeah. That it's conversational, whereas let's say in 2021, people would still just, put in a few words into Google to try to get, a response back. With our semantic search engine, it's you kind of would have to ask a question of some kind. That's the best way to work with it. Mm-hmm. But, what's the use case for a lot of people to just search inside podcasts? We found that some researchers were really interested in it. Students were really interested in it. People who are subject matter experts who are trying to find more source material were really interested in it. But what we decided to do ultimately, and pardon if this is a tangent, is create a whole experience around it so that semantic search was just one part of what we were doing and that we were basically taking AI to its limits at the time to create the, most unique podcast listening experience that we could, and really rethinking how you could, use a podcast player specifically designed for podcasts. And part of that is also that up until that time, podcast players were really derivatives of Apple iTunes, and which is how podcasts kind of came into being. Mm-hmm. And so it was, everything was still around this music catalog, you know, kind of audio, you know, where you're just searching through MP3s, like, you know, mm-hmm. albums and individual tracks from an album. And, you know, we said, it's like, is this really the optimal way to jump into conversation? And what we felt is like, no, more of a feed, like kind of tuning the radio would be more of a, not just a unique experience, actually more a familiar experience for how people today actually get into radio when they're in the car. You know, so we had a feed where it would play like an interesting moment from that episode that we would extract with AI. And you'd have the opportunity to say like, oh yeah, this sounds good. You know, this piques my interest. And then you can continue mm-hmm. playing. Anyway, so long story short.
Wow.
Long story long.
So 2021, we start the business. I actually have a question around that, and I'll come back right to that. But so Fathom gets started, podcast player, semantic search. I think you make a great point in the fact that I think one of the downsides of the podcasting industry, if you will, and that is discoverability. But then more importantly, you see a 56-minute show and the title alludes that it's this, that, or the other thing. But you generally know, like you use the example with Lex Fridman, he talks generally with his audience about these sort of topics. But how do you get to that part of the episode if you don't have 56 minutes? I think that's super smart because I think about it the same way. Like if I'm on a desktop and I go to a web page, I can hit on a Mac, I can hit Control F, Control Find. I think it's something or Command. I'm sorry, it's Control on a PC. And then I can just type the page, right? Am I right? I mean, you just type what you're looking for on the page and you can jump right to that spot on the page. I think that's pretty interesting. So you've got the podcast player, you've got now the podcast tool, which is Podium, which we're using with our show and my team's using. I want to spend some time talking about that. And then you've got the new discovery, which has got me lit. You just revealed this, by the way. You didn't tell me this weeks ago, which I'm sure you had reason for. But now you just dropped this discussion about Podbook. I can't wait to hear more about that. But I got to ask this question. Why start a business in 2021?
Why start a business in 2021?
Yeah, what was the triggering event and what made you and Ken decide to go off on your own? You said you'd work together a number of other companies, but what happened during that time period that made you guys say, "Hey, let's go do this thing?"
So Ken and I, we worked at Kodak together. We worked at a company called M-Train, which was a startup in Sacramento together. And actually, we were roommates for a while. And during that time, we would kind of come up with like a million amazing ideas. I mean, I pat myself on the back.
Typical visionary.
yes, exactly. Typical but then visionary. Execute on very few of them, you know, because we have other
typical
things.
Typical visionary.
Going. Yes, exactly. There was one idea that actually, this is kind of my unofficial origin story for some of what we're doing. But I think to me, it's a bit of like the twinkle in the eye of what Fathom became, or where Fathom was almost born from. There was a while ago, even, I think it was in like 2018, 2019, no, even prior to that. Ken and I don't know if you've ever heard of the philosopher Alan Watts, but one time Ken and I were on a walk and I said, you know, Ken, you know, it'd be great. It's just like a button on my phone that said, like, listen to Alan Watts. Cause Alan Watts gives these very cosmic kind of explanations mm-hmm. of existence and consciousness and, you know, kind of blows your mind. And that turned into Ken working on this app for the Alexa device called Sage Alan Watts, where you can just, you know, say, hey, Alexa, you know, play Sage Alan Watts and Alexa mm-hmm. will start, you'll suddenly hear Alan Watts's voice contemplating something deep, you know? And then the next thing was like, oh, do you know what would be amazing is you could ask Alan Watts questions and it would, you know, be able to pull the content directly from the audio. So I think that was almost like a glimmer of the eye because we had those conversations. In 2021 specifically, though, what had happened is during COVID or just prior to COVID, I was actually traveling in Asia on a bit of a spiritual adventure of my own. In Nepal, India, and Japan. And I was living in a monastery, a Zen monastery in southern Japan. And then I came back to the US, not sure exactly what I was going to do next because everything was shut down. And I think just one day, Ken tapped me on the shoulder. He gave me a ring on Facebook and he said, "Hey, Paul, you know, I want to talk to you about this idea I've had. And I kind of created this, you know, prototype and, you know, would love to discuss with you. What do you think about doing like an AI startup for podcasts?" And, you know, we discussed the idea of the semantic search. I was at the time just kind of preparing for like what my next thing was, what my next move was, you know, and considering it's like, okay, you know, at some point in time, now that I'm back from the monastery and in the world as we know it, I got to do something. And I just told Ken, it's like, let's do it. But Ken, if I say we're going to do this, we're going to do it all the way. You know, we're going to raise money. We're going to get this whole thing off the ground. We're going to take it the distance. And he committed to that. I committed to that. And here we are. So that was part of it was one, it was just like right timing. You know, I was available. He was available. We had something kind of in our hands and we saw potential in it. And, gotcha. But I think it was really like the commitment, you know, the kind of like the promise to commit to it that suddenly changed. You know, there's something in us that I think having known each other for a long time, it's like, hey, let's do something awesome with this. There's potential in it. So we did.
How long did it take? It's so funny because, you know, the concept that I've always talked about is this journey from inspiration to realization. And when life knocks us down from breakdown to breakthrough, how long did it take you from that decision that, hey, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. We're going to go all the way. We're going to take it to the end. How long did it take you to get a product on the market?
Ooh. Well, it took us, I think, approximately, we had kind of like in beta, we had like a kind of like an alpha prototype in a very short period of time that we could immediately start to show people just to get some feedback. I'd say until we had actually something in existence that was ready for the world, it was literally like at least 6 months. You know, we had something to show and to talk to investors about.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What we were basically having to do was not just build the AI product, but basically imagine like building Spotify from scratch. That's basically what Ken had to do and our other developer, Justin, had to do. Build this whole, not just like the AI processing engine, finish and finalize all of our AI, but build the whole infrastructure for serving, you know, a large number of people audio. So it took us a while. So I'd say like between 6 months to 9 months is when we finally had something out.
Yeah. And my point to asking that question was just to illustrate the real life, right? Because sometimes as consumers, we hear about products that eventually make product market fit. They become the headline of the CNBCs, the social media, the Twitter feeds. And we just don't really grasp what it really takes to go from zero to just getting something live and usable.
Right.
Right. And it's never perfect, right? It's what's the V1? And in this case, it's V0.1, right? Before. So I just wanted to have you articulate that because I just cross a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of business owners that whether they're starting or they're trying to scale and they just misunderstand the concept. Like it's almost like they've forgotten that we just don't wave magic wands and create magical products. Like it takes thought process, it takes vision, it takes iteration, it takes, you know, as you mentioned, trial, testing, failure. Heck, coming to Podium, I don't think it was you in the chat feed, but I remember someone asked me for feedback and I gave it to him. And I'm sure the reason you were asking for the feedback was so that you can say, okay, he's using the product. Let me find out what they like, what they don't like. So I just wanted to just do that for a second. I know it seems somewhat elementary. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot for how long it took.
No, for sure. Just to add to that, the ability to get to market fast or not is really oftentimes dependent upon what kind of product it is that you're making. You know, like some things take longer. You know, there's not
this. Can't spin it off in 24 hours.
Or even in a month, you know, it's like, hey, it takes a lot of R&D. There's a lot of moving parts. And that if they aren't all there, you don't really get a viable, minimum viable product.
Understand.
You know, like emphasis on the viable.
Keyword viable.
Like even what we found with when we released our first version of Fathom as an example of this is that it turns out even creating like a great podcast player, let's say if you're to start from scratch, takes longer than a year. And the reason why is because there is so much functionality that different people expect from or desire in their podcast player that you simply can't build it within this, you know, kind of MVP agile sort of way of getting to the marketplace with, like, you know, within a month or three. You know, it's like people just won't use it. They won't, it'll be missing too many things for them to be able to make the switch and then to ultimately retain those users. So there's a lot of care that you have to put into it to make sure it's truly viable and kind of mature in a way.
Related to players, and I really want to spend some time talking about Podium and Podbook, because I think for my listening audience, both of those products that you're developing have a tremendous use case. And by the way, if you're listening to this right now and you don't have a podcast, please do not tune out what we're about to discuss. Because what I have found being a user of this product, and our team has found, is that there are use cases beyond that of even having a podcast. I'm not suggesting he change the name or the direction, but what I'm saying is for the vast majority of businesses who are creating content for this digital world that we live in, there are, I mean, if you want leverage, if you want to save time, if you want to save money, and you want to scale your message, your voice, your level of expertise, whether you ever publish it to an RSS feed or not is irrelevant. What we're about to get into for the next 20 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes, I think is relevant for you. But before we go there, Paul, just given the latest news that I believe my producer mentioned to me, did I hear that Stitcher, which has been a player in the game of podcasts, did I hear that they're being shut down or it's shutting down? What do you know about that? If it matters, it matters. If it doesn't matter, just say it doesn't matter.
I don't know if it matters so much to this conversation. Maybe it matters a little bit to, like, I mean, just SiriusXM, I think, is basically streamlining what their business, because they're owned by SiriusXM.
Oh,
and SiriusXM has their own player. And Stitcher has been more and more just been focused on ads and generating revenue for their kind of podcast network.
I see.
And so I think it's just like they just found that, hey, it doesn't really make sense to maintain. And they are kind of just like kind of shedding that part of it. I think Stitcher is probably going to stay around, but just not as a podcast player.
As an app. As an app. Awesome. Okay. Well, enough on that. I definitely want to spend some time. Tell everybody what Podium is. Tell them how it works. And I want those listening to really understand that if you do not have a podcast, it doesn't matter. Listen to how it works and what it does and how it can help you scale your content creation, because it is magical. And I'm going to tell you, from a number of the consultations I've had and in my 12 years of running a digital marketing agency, the vast majority of you do not want to be on camera. I already know it. I have to force you to do it. So if you don't want to be on camera, you need to pay attention to the next several minutes. Paul, take it away. Tell us what Podium is, how it works, what it does, and how content creators, business owners, people that are experts and influencers can leverage it.
Absolutely. So Podium is really your sidekick, your co-pilot, your artificial virtual assistant that generates content from your content, in so many words. It basically, it's your post-production assistant. You upload a file and it generates all sorts of marketing collateral. It generates your show notes. It generates chapters. It transcribes your content. It does everything that you don't want to have to do if you're a content creator.
Say it again.
Yeah. we found that so many people spend anywhere from one to all the way, you could say at the far end, to 10 hours.
Yes.
Creating post-production, you know, in post-production, creating content from their content or for their content. I'd say like the majority of people who get into podcasting, they love kind of like the interview process. They love talking about what they're passionate about, but then it's all of the other stuff that adds just an enormous amount of overhead to your work.
That's me.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you could say like, and we know, like on our end, we know that 98, or I'd even probably say it's closer to 99% of podcasters, you know, at least when we started working on Fathom, did not have show notes, did not transcribe their content. There's the what are called the podcast 2.0 standards, and very few people really took advantage of those. So Podium really is kind of a revolutionary product for a lot of podcasters. We think that this is the kind of product that almost every podcaster in the next couple of years is going to ultimately have. It saves you time and it saves you a lot of money. If you're, you know, paying another person to do these for you, if you have that opportunity. But the response pit has been just absolutely fabulous. We started working on it mid last year, and knowing that, hey, you know, let's actually start, you know, offering the tools that we're making directly to podcasters to take advantage of. And, you know, the response has been really great. And, you know, it's aligned with our larger mission of augmenting creators in all the right ways with the kind of magical powers that AI can give us. And so we're really excited about it.
So I just want to put some context here. So when it comes to transcribing the podcast, right, the sort of the podcast 2.0, I'd almost say that we're rapidly getting to a 3.0 kind of conversation, to the point where I know at the beginning of my show, I was of the mindset that we were going to have a podcast website because we wanted to have a way for someone to discover it, because podcasts, it's hard to discover a podcast unless you're being referred to it. And, you know, the engines just they don't operate like Google, right? I don't think there ever really was podcast SEO. Some would argue with me, but I've been doing it in almost 4 years now, so I'm going to suggest that I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. That being said, just thinking about the idea of transcribing the show and what would you do with it, right? You then could use it to, because I'm a big believer, and I've always been a big believer, that is, do something once and repurpose it in multiple ways. I've been online since 2003. I've been doing video since 2007. I'm not trying to create a new piece of content every other day, every other week, right? So the transcribing component, I used to pay $1.25 per minute. This is going back a few years.
Yeah.
With a platform that's fantastic. Everybody's heard of Rev.com, or many people have heard of Rev.com.
Yep. Great company.
Great company. Dollar and a quarter a minute. And then I remember when they came out with their version of their AI, which was Timmy.
Yep.
And it dropped to 10 or 25 cents a minute. Right. And then we heard of tools like Otter and some of the other ones. But what I love about your tool is I think it starts at around $16 a month. You're able to not just do transcriptions for, I think, up to 6 hours, but also the chapters, the summaries, the highlights, and then the whole other suite, which I really want you to talk about, because there's a lot of people trying to do what you're doing right now. I've seen them. They're popping up in my world. They're popping up in my email. They were at the event. Some of them were a couple of booths away from you when we met.
Yeah.
And I've been testing them. We've been testing them with our team. But there's something else on the back end of your tool. So it's not just upload it and get the content that the AI engine delivers, but there's some other magical tools in the background that I love to call one button clicks that help even amplify the marketing materials. Share a little bit about those one button clicks that you have on the back end. That's just what I call them. I call them magic buttons, where I don't have to think about anything. It just goes boom based on the input. I love it.
Right. So let me try to get to some of these. So there's a number of things you talked about. And one of the issues, right, is there's a difference in quality. There's a number of people that are starting to get into this. And we're starting to see an explosion of new kinds of companies that are trying to apply AI in a million different ways. And it's going to be a wild ride this next 10 years, you know.
100%.
One of our competitors, he oftentimes criticizes kind of everybody else in the space, saying, oh, you know, it's, you know, all of these people out there, they're just thin wrappers around ChatGPT or GPT-3. And, you know, we are definitely not a thin wrapper. We have, we built we have like a chain of over 12 different neural networks that work together. And GPT technology and OpenAI technology is now part of that. We use that for a lot of the generative work that we do. And a lot of our customers do say, it's like, hey, we tried a lot of different things, and they might have different bells and whistles, but the quality of what you do is really exceptional. And that's really all to the credit of Ken. And also one of our other AI researchers, Dr. Ualvis Gonzalez, who is on our team. And he's fantastic. Going back to the how it works, what it does. So as you said, first thing it does is it generates a transcript for you. We generate what's called a speech diarized transcript now, or a speaker separated transcript. So we do separate like the speakers that are in the transcript. Well, we were using a third party, and actually for some time we were using Rev to do our transcripts. Now we do that in-house. We created our own model and then created another model based off of Whisper, which is OpenAI technology. Mm. And then further, we built on top of that the ability to do speech diarization. We have our own kind of special sauce in that, and we've kind of really matured our transcriptions. So now we're even multilingual. We're supporting a number of languages. Anyways, really proud of what that does. And as you said, it's the cost has just come down. And right now we're charging about, you know, approximately, if you're a subscriber, about $3 per audio hour, which is very low when you really think about everything that we do for you. Because we don't just transcribe your content, which just up until a moment ago, I think the average cost was about $1.50 per hour. So just add another $1.50 on top of it. What do you get? As you said, we chapterize your content. So what that does is we have a whole AI that we designed and trained that topically segments your content and then titles those sections and creates summaries for those sections. Some of our competitors, well, very few of them have even attempted to do anything like this. But a lot of the ways that they approach it, they'll just kind of go in like, you know, 3 minute or 5 minute increments, you know, just kind of like say, oh, okay, every 3 minutes, let's create a chapter, so to speak.
I see.
What we do is something different. We chapterize it kind of just like a human would. And actually, during a lot of our testing and initial creation, our AI was able to predict with high level of accuracy where a human would place a chapter mark. But it literally scans or reads your whole document or the whole transcript and, you know, finds the topical segments and will chapterize it, create those titles. This is something that's, as you said, it's not just valuable to podcasters. It's valuable to anybody who creates audio, you know, whether or not you're someone who does seminars or someone who does a lot of webinars or, you know, any kind of marketing content where you happen to be a talking head. If you like to talk, Podium can help you do more with your content. And just part of that is the transcript. The chapters is great. The chapters are great also because at some point in time in the future, let's say if you wanted to, you could go back and say, hey, you know, what am I talking about? You know, in all my past transcripts, and how can I repurpose that content to create a book? And as it just so happens, we created a product called Podbook that even helps you do that. There's even more that is valuable because you're now able to, with our product called Podium GPT, create a lot of content from your transcript or from your original audio with a single push button, as you said. You can generate an email, you can generate an article, you can generate a LinkedIn post or a Facebook post. You know, it's literally a single button click. It will use your actual content. So imagine it's like ChatGPT, but trained on your podcast to generate content.
Key point, Paul, key point. I'm glad you brought that up. I actually was going to ask you the question to distinguish Podium GPT from ChatGPT, because on the outside looking in, people will say, well, why do I need to pay for a product like this when I can just go to ChatGPT? But you just nailed it. It is contextualizing from the transcript and the audio file that you uploaded. And therefore, what I have found, what our team has found, and we have tried a few of the tools. Obviously, we met you at the event and we met a couple of others. We've taken some trials. But I will tell you that the output, in my opinion, and I've given your team some of this feedback as well, and I know that obviously this is iterative and it's going to take time and it's going to, you know, everything's not perfect, neither is Chat. I mean, ChatGPT makes stuff up. Right. So what I love about it is the closer that you get, like saving time is one thing, but saving time, but then on the front end, but having to go back and re-edit the poor output is not saving time, right? It's just, it could be frustrating. But what I love about yours, and what I tell even my executive assistant when she's initially getting our transcripts, is I genuinely believe that the, I don't want to call it raw material, but the engine is bringing back a closer level of relevance in what we're getting in our package after we upload now than even just when you and I met just months ago in early 2023. And right now we're at the end of the second quarter. And so I know it's just getting better and better and better. And plus, I know what you guys, you know, you guys are talking about the things you're focused on. I just want to add two things. And that is for the person who doesn't do video, the person who doesn't have a podcast, I started recording my meetings that I would be in with customers. And not just for training purposes. This is years ago, many, many years ago. I started saying to myself, to your point, are there common themes that are coming up with my customers? From a, you know, if someone's inquiring about our services, are they asking me the similar questions? Because sometimes when you're in the heat of the moment, you don't remember how the conversation exactly went. I also look at it from a standpoint of how do I go into my CRM and speed up the way of me taking notes and putting them in for, to my CRM? One of the pains of almost anybody who's in sales is summarizing next steps from a meeting. So if you're an account manager, if you're a salesperson, if you're an entrepreneur and you're selling your product, if you're doing a, if you're a coach and you have to do discovery calls and sell into your coaching program, just recording your meetings is audio, right? And now if you give that disclaimer, I'm in Nevada. So in Nevada, we disclaim that we're recording because we're a two-party state. So make sure you understand your laws in your state. I'm not an attorney, but just make sure you understand your laws. Like, what disclaimer do you have to give someone that you're recording them? But we've all been on the call where it says this call is being recorded for training purposes, whatever that is, figure it out for your state or your country. But we have found that just even the ability of taking a meeting and pulling it into Podium and then getting that output helps us summarize what the meeting was about, help our project management flow. Now, we haven't used Podium all that much for that, but we are starting to test that a little bit. It's interesting, Paul, because you said it contextualizes the speaker, and that's what we're wondering. Because a transcript is okay, but I don't have a way to go back and just get into Otter and figure out exactly where that was said. And they're trying to do what you're doing. It ain't working. I can assure you right now, it's not where. I love Otter. We've been friends with Otter for a while, but it ain't doing what you're doing. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of other use cases that I have found outside of being a podcaster, such that now we are looking at how other how else we can use that, not just for marketing and forward publishing, but even for internal use. And I think those are some other interesting use cases that you're able to produce that aren't maybe necessarily thought of on the front end.
Totally. You know, right now we are focusing on podcasters just because you got to start somewhere, one. But
of course,
the way that we have oftentimes been talking about, it's like that Podium is ultimately, it's like AI tools for creators.
Right.
And you can think of that in the broadest context possible, you know, content creators. So it could be someone who is, you know, leading webinars, someone who is even just leading meetings, you know, not, they don't even have to be public webinars, but, you know, it's like you're creating content in whatever way. And there's more and more ways probably we're going to find out how we can leverage the content that we're generating to create more kind of products from it. That's actually like really what drove the birth of Podbook and kind of furthering this mission of creating content from your content, creating more value from for you from the content that you've already created. Ken and I think I think I mentioned before we started this call that probably more than entrepreneurs, we would probably be considered futurists because we just love to think about the, you know, like what's possible, you know, and it's a whole other thing to think about applying it, et cetera. And that's where the kind of the practical entrepreneurship kind of comes into play. But, you know, for us, it's pretty fabulous. I mean, and extremely exciting just to think about how, hey, with Podbook, for instance, right now we're allowing podcasters like never before to create a whole book from their content.
Yeah, let's talk about that as we wrap up.
Yeah, and you know, and it's that's ultimately crazy. Going to extend beyond just podcasters. Right now we're focusing on podcasters because we know they have a lot of high quality content. So yes. It's really well suited as a use case for creating a whole book from. You know, in many cases, it's just a single host who is a subject matter expert and they have 2 years or more worth of a back catalog of audio just sitting there. You know, so we now have kind of like a large resource to use our AI technology to extract a whole book from. We think that that there's a lot of people, more than just podcasters probably, that are going to be interested. All sorts of subject matter experts that are creating content, you know, in the form of online courses and webinars and seminars, yeah, et cetera. Even college professors that are oftentimes speaking on different subjects throughout the year. There's all sorts of ways that we can use AI to aid us in doing a lot of things that we kind of don't have time to do. Right now, just as an example, and I'll just kind of start launching into some of the problems that we're addressing with Podbook, is to even, you know, many authors, it takes a year or two or more to finish their book, you know, and at least their first book. And if you were to ghostwrite that book, it could take you close to the same amount of time if you have a ghostwriter. And at the bottom end, let's just say, if you find someone, it's around $10,000 that scales all the way up to $250,000 or more. So it's not just time intensive, it's cost. In writing a book, you could say, if you're committing a lot of time to it, it's taking you potentially from your job, it's taking you from making a lot of money. So anyways, and a lot of people, they're just kind of like sitting on top of this treasure trove that would, you know, even if they were just to have a VA, like an assistant, start to assemble a book from notes or transcripts, that in itself would be, again, a huge lift.
Huge endeavor.
Huge endeavor. So what's amazing is, and it doesn't take 15 minutes, you know, to actually process a whole book on our end. It does take some amount of time. It takes a whole day to actually process a whole book from audio content. But I mean, that's just like amazing that we're able to scale in that way now, that we can take something that took a year, you know, to kind of create a first draft. And now we can take your existing content. We can shrink that into a day. And that you will have now a full kind of rough draft ready for you to edit, et cetera, right there on your desk. One thing, you know, the way that we look at even Podium or all of these generative AI products, we don't think it's a perfect product at the end. And ultimately, we think that, hey, it gets you 98% there, you know, to the finish line. There's still that 2% that is critical for a human to come in and edit, add final touches, ensure quality, you know, fill out areas that are important. We recommend people doing that with Podium, with whatever we generate, especially with regards to show notes, et cetera. It's like, hey, put your little touch on it, you know, but it's like, it solves that, the kind of like the blank page problem. You know, it's like,
huge problem.
If so many people, it's like, they don't know where to begin. They don't know where to start. They don't even know what kind of book they would want to write. And the AI now can basically say, hey, I've identified all of these topics, and I'm able to stitch all of that together into a book that is congruent and makes sense and has, you know, flow. So anyways, it's really exciting.
And that product's in beta now, right? Is it available for waitlist, or is it open for beta?
It is a closed beta. So if you join the waitlist, you can basically get in on, you have to fill out a little bit of a questionnaire. And then we assess the kind of the quality and the content of your podcast to make sure that you're a good fit, good candidate, I should say. Then we're doing even like a interview by interview. We will have like a follow-up call with some of our kind of first candidates and first customers, and kind of explaining the process where they put in a deposit. We then process the kind of like their back catalog. We generate transcripts and chapters for that back catalog, and we generate a first rough draft. They then have several weeks to review it. And at the end of that period, they basically can say, yes, you know, I want to kind of purchase the complete license for it. And then there's like another fee on top of that to kind of purchase the complete license. So
that's
exciting. It's really exciting. Yeah. And we've had a really positive response. Buzzsprout just mentioned it on their podcast. And so that was really exciting. That kind of generated a lot of interest as well. Yeah. And we have some cool podcasters that we're really excited to be working with. I can't, unfortunately, mention any names, but there's some really, really cool people that we're starting to work with. So again, it's really exciting.
Awesome. Paul, listen, I mean, congratulations. You and Ken both. Did I meet Ken at the booth that day? Was he there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was just behind me talking to another person.
Yeah. And I remember talking to him one time when you had stepped away, because I think I went over to it twice. So yeah, congratulations to you and Ken both. Appreciate you guys putting the time and energy into this. It's making a big difference for me and my work and what I do and what my team does. And I just, again, thank you for being a futurist. Thank you for stepping into the world of the unknown and the what I call the early adopter. You're actually an innovator in that you're willing to get into the pool before anybody even knows how deep it is. And you're not even sure you know how to swim, right? I mean, so it's like you're willing to go in there and say, let's figure this out. And we're getting tremendous use case out of it. And we're only going to keep doubling down. I am definitely going to be interested in the beta. The only thing that I'm nervous about is I have a mixture of shows. I've got interview shows and I've got solo shows. You and I can talk about that later.
Yeah.
And where I might fit into that conversation. But I would love to be a part of that beta. So as we wrap up, where can people connect with you, find you? Tell everybody where to go connect with these tools.
Yeah. And Daryl, thank you so much for having me on. It was a great conversation.
Absolutely.
So if people are interested in checking out Fathom, they can go to fathom.fm. That's our AI-powered podcast player. If they would love to check out Podium, that's podium.page, podium.page. And if they're interested in joining our waitlist for Podbook, you can find a link at the bottom of podium.page, or you can just go to podium.page/podbook. And they will have a link to join our waitlist. Again, thank you so much, Daryl, for the conversation. And yeah, we'd love to discuss making a Podbook for you.
Yes, right. That's right. Yeah. So super excited. We'll have to have you back as you continue. And you and I talked offline, and I'll just tease the audience about this, that if you're not inside the Growth Driven Entrepreneur community, you want to head over to growthdrivenentrepreneur.com. Paul and I are potentially talking about a masterclass on the behind the scenes. You're welcome to go sign up and start venturing yourself. But I'll tell you, if you're inside the Growth Driven Entrepreneur community, if and when we put this together, which we might talk about here coming up soon, I'll have some special bonuses if you're inside the Growth Driven Entrepreneur community, and that's at growthdrivenentrepreneur.com. So every week there, we're teaching you how to market, grow, and scale your business. So Paul, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Congratulations on your journey. I can only imagine some of the more exciting things you have coming down the line for content creators. And listen, at the end of the day, content creator, influencer, podcaster, small business owner, marketing director, whatever you call yourself in the digital space, creating content sits at the baseline of growing your business online. So the further you ignore it, the longer you push it and kick it down the street, the more you're actually hurting your business. And the good news is Paul and his team have created a tool to take some of that content creation and repurposing overwhelm off your plate. So by all means, again, Paul, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Real pleasure.
Hey, my friend, thanks again for listening to today's episode of the Mindshift Podcast. Listen, let's not have the conversation end here. Connect with me on social at Mr. Daryl Evans on almost all the platforms, with the exception of Facebook. My Facebook fan page is at Daryl Evans Fan. Until next week, remember, you're just one shift away from the breakthrough you're looking for.